Welcome, dear friends. It's so good to be with you all again. To be as a family of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, our topic for our meditation is man before the fall and after the fall, a very interesting subject that holds a lot of ground and food for thought. Some part mysterious, some part challenging, but all parts profitable. To know our past, we must go to the word of the Creator. Please understand, none of us came into this world of your own volition, not one. We were sent here without our knowledge, without our consent, we came. Who sent us here? For what? Where are we going from here? Where? For what? These are the questions we are going to answer out of God's Word. And outside of God's Word, there is no sure answer, only speculations. But we cannot live on speculations. We must live and plan and contrive our lives only by the instruction and the sure knowledge of God's Word as we turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. This morning's sermon will be largely a Bible study because there are many passages we have to refer to. So please be ready with your Bible. And the two books we shall be referring to primarily will be Genesis and Romans, one Old, one New Testament. Now, what does first book of Genesis tell us about man before the fall? It is very important, dear friends, to know how we came into this world. What happened in the beginning? What kind of man was put onto planet Earth in the beginning? This is so crucial, so basic and fundamental that it is important you pay close attention to what we are about to read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. This gives us the basis for our further study of man. Verse 26 says, God said, yes, everything in your life must begin with God. He is the maker. What did he say? Verse 26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. All right, this is a first statement. How is God says, let us? Why us? Answer, because God is Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So he doesn't say, let me. Look again, please. Verse 26. The Lord said in the beginning of the creation, let us make man. Now, he gave us certain characteristics, so important to understand, that God made us in his image. For that, what do you say? Thank thee, Lord. I was not made a monkey, right? Please understand. Only the very super wise, super intelligent says, I prefer to be the son of an amoeba. Because that is the whole thesis of Darwin. All right. Life came from non-life, and non-life became amoeba. Where do you find amoeba? Go to any drain, pick up a drop of water, put in the microscope, and there are thousands of amoebas there. And intelligent man choose to say, I came from that muck and amoeba, became me. Okay, they are welcome to their ideas. God says, in the beginning, I said, let us make a creature called man. After our image, in our image, we all bear the image of God today and the likeness of God, albeit this image and likeness is badly marred. Right? Understand. Spoiled, tarnished, marred by what is about to happen now as we go on in our reading, by what we call the fall. And the fall today is taken as a kind of dividing point. Man before the fall, after the fall, is there a difference? What is the difference? Why the difference? And what is the outcome of that difference? Is there some solution to that happening of the fall? These are the things that must challenge your mind. Thank you. Please go on. Verse 28. God bless them. Who? Men and women were blessed of God. And what for? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Here, God has placed men with an authority as well as a function. What were we created for in the beginning? To replenish, to reproduce, that is the first function of man. And secondly, to subdue the earth. What a wonderful commission. The earth is subject to man. And man is to take control of the whole planet, which we do not today. Realize this, that in one little quake of Richter 9.8, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people are suddenly shaken and smothered and drowned and destroyed. Is man subduing the earth today? Answer is no. The earth is overwhelming man. Why? Because of the fall. God never intended in the beginning, never planned and never created man to be subject to tsunamis and earthquakes. Never. Now you say, why today? The fall, dear friends, that thing called the fall is the dividing point between man before and man after that terrible event called the fall. Now let's read on. Verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed upon the face of the earth, and that which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you for your food. Here it is very important to understand, we were all created in the beginning to be vegetarians. And this has great connection and relevance to what is going to happen later. That at that time, man and the animal kingdom were on friendly terms. You don't have to slaughter animals to provide food for your tables. It did not have to do it. And therefore, men and animals were on friendly terms. You may say the tiger was then man-friendly. That's amazing. Nowadays, it may take a trainer years to tame a tiger and make him a pet. That's possible in very exceptional circus cases. But in the beginning, you will know that God made animals to be subject to man. Now look on to Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. That corroborates and confirms what we are talking about. Genesis 2:19. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field, etc. Jump two lines. And he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was a name. So wonderful day. All the animals, tigers, lions, leopards, cheetahs, elephants, everything would come to Adam. Man friendly, no problem at all. Why? God made them so. And one day after the fall, when God's redemptive purpose is fulfilled, all these animals will once again be subject to man. You believe it? You don't believe it? Turn to the Word of God. The book of Isaiah, just a quick one. Just a quick one. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Please, we must be quick in our sword drill. When I say Isaiah, please don't start in Revelation, please. You know where to go. You should know where to go. All right, go straight to Isaiah. Verse 1. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch. Jesus Christ will come. Then verse 6. Then, verse 5. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, faithfulness the girdle of his reins. In that day he will rule the earth with righteousness. You say, when? When, our dear friends? Before very long. If you are a believer, a born-again child of God, you will be part of that millennial kingdom to come. You say, where? On planet Earth. How? By the redemptive purpose of God. When Jesus Christ our Lord died on Calvary, he not only saved you, but he restored and redeemed the whole creation, including the whole earth. In that day, the knowledge of God will cover the seas, and the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. And once again, the whole earth will be subject to man under Jesus Christ. Then, no more tsunamis, no more earthquakes. Dear friends, all natural disasters will be a thing of the past in the millennium. Now, today we're not talking of millennium. You can read all about it in Revelation 20:21. There, it's all about the coming millennium. 1,000 years when you, if you are a child of God, faithfully following him today, serving him today, you will be then in that millennial kingdom reigning together with Christ. This is the promise. You say, how can it be? Too fantastic for me. I say, yes, fantastic, but true. Is that good? So this is the promise. One day, verse 6 says, the wolf will live with the lamb, leopard lie down with the kid, the calf with the young lion, the fatling together, and a child will lead them. Amazing. When? Millennium. Under Jesus Christ. Will you be there, dear friends? This is all that matters. Be faithful today. Follow and serve him every day. And work for the kingdom where you can. Be a good witness following the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you will be there leading these animals. No longer wild, no longer hungering for your blood, no more. Why? Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. 7. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, the lion shall eat straw. No more McDonald's, only go and eat grass. Men will eat fruit, no more needing to eat meat. This is a wonderful thing, isn't it? You know, I tell you a secret, I have cut out meat a lot, a lot. Nowadays, I'm preparing for the millennium, I eat a lot of fruit. Now, verse 8, the suckling child shall play on the hole of the ass that is on the cobra. Wow, cobra. I said, how can it be? In the millennium, God will change all the cobras and there will be little pets for people to play. Amazing. All right, I think that's enough. Verse 9 is good. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen. Now that is so much for man before the fall. Right, now we want to look into the fall. What happened in that awful thing called the fall? Genesis 3. Just next page. Now enter the stage of life. Serpent! Satan in the guise of a serpent. And he brings in all the problems for all of us. He confronts the woman and begins to put doubt into the mind of the woman. Poor woman, and she bears a lot of blame for that. Genesis 3:1, let's read. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, and he came to the woman and said, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Here learn a lesson, dear friends. The fall was brought in by one question. Yea, hath God said. Is it true that God said this? When you doubt God's written word, inspired, inerrant, and infallible, you are in trouble. Please don't. Don't doubt. But this is the doubt Satan injected into the woman who then fell for it. Immediately, she began to fall into the trap and to add words, put words into the mouth of God. God never said, but she said. What did she say? Verse 3. Of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, God said, now listen carefully, you shall not eat, correct? Yes. God said, don't eat. Read on. Neither shall ye touch. Did God say, don't touch? No. You can touch. No problem with touching. But you must not eat. So here the woman fell for the trap of Satan, and already the seed of rebellion was coming up in her heart. She already doubted the sincerity and goodness of God. I said, never, never do it. This was at the root and the beginning of the fall of man. To doubt God's goodness, to question His veracity, His truthfulness. Has He told me the truth? Really, God? Did you say this? Is it so bad to touch this fruit? This is in their mind. All right. Now we know. Eve gave to Adam, and the two of them broke the law of God. Disobeyed, rebelled, became enemies of God immediately. And this brought in all the consequences of the fall. Now, this is the fall. Where did it happen? In the garden of ease. In the garden of tranquility. In the garden of perfection. Where there was no sin. No circumstances to cause them to want to sin. Nothing. Garden of Eden was a garden of perfection. And right there, Satan made an intrusion, an invasion into that garden. And there man fell. Now, the consequences of the fall are being felt by us today. I've mentioned the great earthquake. That is one of the consequences on the natural environment, on planet Earth, that you have all kinds of natural disasters, from typhoons to hurricanes, to earthquakes, to all these snowstorms and other storms. All these follow the fall. Now, let's see the consequences of that fall. Verse 7, 8, and 9. Follow me, I'm going to read quite fast. Eyes were open, and they knew, wow, we're naked. That's the first thing. Shame! What's wrong with being naked? If you're naked, you're shameful. And for the first time, they recognize They were shameful, not because they were naked, but because they had broken God's law. Then they realize the shame of the nakedness. That's number one. Why they were not ashamed when they were first created. If you turn back to verse 25, Genesis 2:25, all right? Genesis 2:25, they're both naked, man and wife. They were not ashamed. Who said so? God said so. No shame. But once you break God's law, then you recognize, wow, we're uncovered. We need covering. Back to Genesis 3, verse 8, verse 7. And they made themselves aprons, little sarongs of fig leaves to cover themselves, to hide their shame. Now, number 8, verse 8. Then they heard the voice of God and they were frightened. Another thing came in. Shame, fear of whom? Amazing. In the garden, were they afraid of God? No. God called them, put them there, assigned them their work, spoke with them, and we do not know how many days passed, how many months passed, we do not know. But God will come down and have fellowship with whom? Adam and Eve. When? Before the fall. Was there fear? No. Was there shame? No. Was there need to hide? No. Why? Because there was no sin before the fall. Now read on. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees. Can you realize this, please? They already had fig leaves covering them, right? Not enough. Hide inside the trees. How to hide from God? And then from then on, that enmity, the estrangement between man and God grew. Because sin is progressive. Sin increases. And that kind of enmity is in all of us. Now read on, please. The consequences of the fall. Verse 16, 17, 18, 19. To the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and pain. That's why you need to have obstetricians when you go to have your baby. And we have to give you a lot of painkillers. Why? Because of Genesis chapter 3. Without that fall, childbirth would be a pleasurable, painless procedure. Now, all kinds of painkillers are necessary because of that one great fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Read on. Pain and sorrow. Verse 17. To Adam, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife, eaten of the tree, thou shalt not eat of it, I said, but you ate. Now what happened? Cursed is the ground, in sorrow thou shalt eat of it. You ever tried being a farmer? Garden farming? During the Japanese time, I had 3 years of it in Batu Pahat. No school. We tried to farm. And you find it is very difficult. First, you got to clear all the weeds and the stones and the rubbish. You got to chunkle the earth and make it loose and do all kinds of things until you sweat. Why do you sweat for that? It's here. Without the fall, gardening will only be a pleasure, only a joy all the time. But now, you got to think of all kinds of pests, insects, and little things that grow and eat up your fruit and so on. It's all here. All right. Next one is verse 18. Thorns and thistles and poisonous weeds and plants will grow to make your life miserable. Why? Why should this be? Why did God create us into a world of sorrow? No, God did not. God created us to be gardeners in a very pleasant garden of Eden, but the fall brought all this on to planet Earth, and you and I suffer because of what? Adam. As by one man sin entered into the world, Romans 5:12, one man. Oh, sad, isn't it? That fellow called Adam. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You realize that the first men were conceived outside of the garden, not in the garden, in a sinful environment. So the whole human race inherit that seed of sin, that taint of sin, that contaminated blood and DNA and all the rest that goes with it came from Adam and Eve outside the garden after the fall. All right? Now you say, what shall we do? Well, God was not taken by surprise. The fall has come, but God has a solution for the fall already. In the same garden, in the same chapter, there are two verses. And you please make a note of it. God has a plan. God preempted, you may say. God anticipated. Did God know that it's going to happen? Of course. Then you say to me, why, if he knew, why didn't he prevent it? You ask God when we get up to heaven, why didn't he prevent it? I say, from our little knowledge, we know God knew it. God did not stop it. God gave man that free will. I've told you it's for your blessing, and you will not obey, you will not believe me, you bear the consequences. We bear the consequence of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. But in the final analysis, we will realize God in our misery came to open a way back to him. Then we will all for everlasting ages have something to praise God for, something to bless God for, something to thank God for. All everlasting ages after, we will say, blessed be the Lamb of God that brought us back to God by his precious blood, will be our everlasting song. And that is already anticipated in Genesis 3. Please see two verses. Which two verses? 15 and 21. 15 and 21. Verse 15, I will put enmity between you, the serpent, Satan, right? This is God speaking to Satan. Between you and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel, saying, the prediction of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to go to the cross, to be bruised by Satan, his heel, but in his dying, our Lord Jesus Christ destroyed him who had the power of death. Satan was destroyed on the cross. This is in verse 15. Verse 21, God had a foreshadowing, a demonstration of his unmerited grace to man. Verse 21, to Adam and to his wife, the Lord made coats of skin and clothe them for their shame, for their sin. God killed the lamb on that day in order to give them the skins. All right? So here God shows us his plan of salvation. How to save mankind out of his death? Genesis 3:15. Please make a note. Genesis 3:21. Now, finally, we go to Romans. Man after the fall does not become neutral, right? Before the fall, Adam and Eve, created by God, very wonderful, doing all things pleasing to God. Now, after the fall, when men sin, man does not become neutral or negative or just zero, but he becomes a very harmful, negative force. Where does it say so? Romans chapter 1, verse 28. This is a description of society today. This is a description of man in rebellion against God. And anyone who does not want to believe in God and wants to go his own way, goes the way of Satan. And this is the description of all of us who were without Christ, going our own way, living our own life, doing our own things, our own style. Here it is, verse 20, 28. Even as mankind in society did not like to retain God in their knowledge, but chose to believe that they came from amoeba, chose to believe in Darwin. This is what happens. You don't become negative and nothing, but you become a very harmful creature. Please follow. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Because you choose not to believe, then you have, God gives you a mind that is unable to discern between good and evil. And you call evil good, good evil. And upside down. Reprobate mind. Unable to discern what is good. To do those things which are not convenient, filled with all unrighteousness, please follow carefully. This is a description of fallen man. Man after the fall. Whereas in the garden before the fall, his thoughts were clean, pure, righteous, pleasing to God. After the fall, you know, in Genesis 4, right away, the first generation that Adam brought forth, elder brother kill younger brother. Hatred, murder. There, right there in the very beginning. Now, read on. Romans 1:29. The unregenerate, the fallen man is filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication. What is fornication? Because of that urge that is built into every man and woman. These people say there is no God, no law, live as you wish, do what comes naturally. So today, young people, just live. Why marry? Live. This is what it says. And this is a sin that is repugnant to God. I say, please, young people, listen. This is the way of perdition, and God hates fornication. What is the solution? Get married. Seek God's blessing. Come to the house of God and say, Lord, you brought us together. We believe in you. We love each other. Get married. Not as the world, fornication. This is the result of the fall. Yes, men never did it until they fell. All right. Wickedness. Hating for nothing. Doing evil things for nothing. Vandalism for nothing. Think of it. In Singapore, it has been snuffed out more or less. Go to Melbourne, go to Sydney. All the public vehicles got graffiti and rubbish. And people just go out and set fire to people's fences. Do all kinds of evil things. Wickedness. From where does it come? Why does young people... You read how a group of young people caught over a man and tortured him to death. And it says, what for? For the pleasure of torturing a man. And they put him to death. This was in a newspaper only 2 days ago. Covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Mom, note the last one. Please, honor your father and your mother. Please, whatever else you do, don't forget. They are in the place of God giving you life, nurturing you, blessing you for so many years of your life, honor them. Verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This is a picture of man after the fall. And this is a description of present-day society. In the most advanced society, this is it. Right? What is the solution? Man after the fall Has he a hope? Left to yourself, cultured man, educated, highly educated, comes to a dead end, hopeless situation until many very highly educated intellectuals end their life by suicide. Why? When I was in Sydney, there was a Chief Justice and his wife. They were both 72 years old. They made all their preparations. They had four children. They made their wills, left all their belongings. And one day, together, they took an overdose, husband and wife, in perfect health, with everything good to look forward to in this earthly life, took their own life and said, we find it is meaningless. Nothing to look forward to. This is man after the fall, without hope, without Christ, without the word of God, and they end their life. There are many other ways, dear friends. The man after the fall who refuses God, God gives him a reprobate mind. He cannot discern what is right, what is wrong, and they choose the bad to do them. Now, what is the solution, dear friends? For that reason, we are here as a body of believers. For that reason, we started a church here in 1978-79. For that reason, we preach the gospel every week, that whosoever have ears, let him hear. There is hope for fallen men. In the word of God, God has provided the solution. In the word of God, there is an everlasting hope, a bright hope, a wonderful hope for you and me. God has provided. For that reason, we came here to preach the gospel. And for that reason, we say, you go and tell others, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. For that reason, we have tracts prepared. And shortly this year, we pray that we will launch into a gospel tracting church. Yes. Everybody to be concerned. Everybody to go out every day with a pocket full of tracts. Everybody to be a messenger for God for good. To tell someone, have you in your life turned one person, a fallen man or woman in darkness, groping for the way, and turn him to say, Jesus Christ is the way. For that reason, we are here, because of the fall. If there's no fall, what is there to say? There's no gospel, right? The gospel is given to us because of the fall of man. And we here who have the gospel must make it known to others who do not have the gospel, that there is a wonderful salvation, a wonderful hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I said, Romans, one more chapter. Romans 8. This is the hope we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just two verses and we close. Romans 8, 22, 23. Romans 8, 22, 23. The Word of God says, we know. Please, again, I want to stress to you, we don't guess. There is no guesswork in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no speculation. Read again. We know the whole creation groans and travaileth in pain together until now. Together travaileth groaning on the 26th of December, that part of the undersea earth quaked, groaning, travailing in pain. You see that? Why? Because of the fall. The whole creation fell under that curse, and the nature gone wild. Why should waves suddenly rise to 40 feet and crush thousands of people to death and turn motor cars into toys, put them up to the second-story restaurant and park it there? Why? Why do all these things happen? Ah, verse 22. We know the whole creation groans and travails in pain till now. Not only they, but we too. We who have the first fruits of the Spirit of God, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, that is, The redemption of our body. I ask you a question. Is your body redeemed? Answer, no, obviously. All our bodies are dying. Every one of us, the newborn baby, starts the dying process already. All our bodies are in the dying process, growing old, every day, one day nearer the grave. This is what it says. Now, what is there to look forward to? It says here, we are all waiting, verse 23, the last part, waiting for the adoption. This is a very wonderful word. Whereas we were outcast, unwanted, no father, no mother, and there God comes and adopts us to be his son. Amazing adoption. And redemption of our body because of Calvary. All because our Jesus Christ, our Lord, was willing. All because he suffered for us and went willingly up that road to the cross. And on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And he says, it is finished. It is finished. The work of redemption of fallen man was completed on the cross, that all our adoption, our redemption, be sealed and made sure for all of us today. This is what God has done for man after the fall, that every fallen man can be restored, redeemed, returned to God. Hearing the gospel, dear friends, do you feel the need to repay your gospel debt? Please don't let us be unmindful, ungrateful. I say, let the pastors, the session, they can do it. But there is a need, there is a joy, there's a blessing, there's a privilege given to all of us that we as fallen men can go and tell other fallen men there is a way back to God. God did not intend for anything else, not animals, not angels, but fallen men to go and be his messengers, to go and tell. Let us pray. Lord, help us to understand. While we are fallen, thou hast opened a way back to thee. Help us to be thy messengers of goodwill, to carry the gospel to those who have not heard, that they may know out of their fallen state, God has opened a way back. Cleanse us and use us, Lord, and bless us today. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.